Real Estate Money and More, Episode 6.
You finally found it. Welcome to the show that helps thousands with real estate, money, and a whole lot more. Now here is our host, Shane Willis.
Well, hello, and welcome to Real Estate, Money, and a Whole Lot More. My name's Shane Willis, and this is the podcast for investors and entrepreneurs to get ideas and tips that can help them succeed financially and in life. It is my sincere hope that we can be a small part in helping you get to the next level. And getting to that next level is what we do. This is going to be a short episode. I really appreciate you guys tuning in real quick. We had an episode scheduled already that we were going to release this week, but there's been some news abuzz that I felt like we needed to just create another, almost like a special episode, if you will. But since it's going to be on our scheduled release day of Thursday, I was going to go ahead and just use that as this week's episode, and the one that I had planned to release this week will release next week. But we have some upcoming episodes that are really, really good. I've got some special guests coming on the show with me. It's not just going to be me. I have some lenders coming on. We've got an episode dedicated to FHA lending. We've got an episode dedicated to VA lending. I've got an episode dedicated to 203K and what a rehabilitation loan can do and how you can actually buy one of those foreclosures or short sales that's pretty beat up. Utilize the loan to rehab the property to get it very livable and get a bunch of stuff done out of that and roll all that work into the loan. So that's going to be a pretty popular episode, I'm sure. I've got some people coming in talking about staging. I've got a company out of Dallas that seems to be doing a whole lot of stuff on social media. Her and I have agreed to talk. We're going to interview her, kind of get her idea on staging. And what's the difference between staging and decorating? Because some people think staging is just decorating. Well, it's not. You can stage it without decorating it. But I'm going to let her decide all that and discuss all that. Not decide, but discuss. Needless to say, I've got tons of guests coming on here in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you continue to come back towards us weekly. Make sure you subscribe to it. The podcast here, if you're listening in iTunes or if you're on the website, make sure you subscribe to the RSS feed. This episode's actually just, like I said, going to be a quick episode. I'm going to talk about the abuzz of the week, which is, and I'll let you know, we're going to discuss it in detail a little bit in just a few minutes, but I wanted to let you know what we're talking about this week, and that is the acquisition of Trulia from Zillow. And that's a pretty big acquisition this week, and let me tell you, it has turned the real estate industry upside down from the realtor standpoint. Now, I'm going to discuss what I think is going to happen on the consumer standpoint as well, and we'll just kind of have to see. But I wanted to make sure, since it seems to be such a big a buzz, and it is a major play for a major player, that we talked about it, because obviously this podcast is dedicated to real estate and finance, and specifically in real estate, and this is a huge news for real estate. So we're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. I did want to get to a couple of questions I keep getting on social media, and I keep getting through the website and through emails asking me to update about the book that I have coming out with Brian Tracy and Nick Nanton called Transform. If you follow me on Twitter, which is twitter.com/ShaneWillis10, ShaneWillis10, 10, I had posted out that we got our official invitation from the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors to come out and receive their Quilly Award, which is a bestseller summit. They're expecting this book to become a bestseller just because Brian Tracy has such a following that they don't see any reason why it won't become a bestseller very, very quickly. So much so that the summit where they're giving us the award is happening in late September, and I know that people are asking me to give them a hard, fast date of when the book will come out. I don't know yet. I was talking with the production team earlier this week, and all we can really say is we're shooting for the first 10 days in September. So I know that we want it out and we want it published and being able to qualify for what they call the Quillie Award, which is a bestseller status award. When we go out to Los Angeles, when I say we, my wife and I have been invited to go out, and that's on the 24th. I know that it should come out before then. It will come out before then. I know that the publisher's pushing really hard to make sure that happens. And we'll get it, as I get more information, I will make sure I put it out in this podcast. I'll put it out on our website. I'm going to dedicate a page, and I will put in the show notes here, which if you're looking to find the show notes, it's realestatemoneyandmore.com/episode6. I'll put in the show notes the page that we're going to start dedicating on the website to this Quillie Award. I'll take a bunch of pictures. I'll put that out because it's kind of cool. It's at the Roosevelt Hotel, which if you're familiar with Los Angeles, the Roosevelt Hotel was the first hotel that the Grammys were done. So we're using that same banquet center, that same aura, if you will. They've got all kinds of stuff coming in. I think the day before, we actually have a summit where we're listening to a couple of speakers, and it looks like Mark Victor Hansen's going to be there, who is one of the authors for a little book called Chicken Soup for the Soul. Yeah, if you haven't heard of that book, it's only sold about 600 million copies. I think the only book that sold more copies than that may be the Holy Bible. So to have him out there speaking a little bit, obviously, you know, this is my first book. I've written articles, I've been published in trade magazines, but a book, this is my first book. So to have someone coming out speaking of that caliber is very exciting for us. So we'll be going out there, and like I said, I will be posting on Twitter. I'll be posting on Facebook, which I'll put links for both those social media in the show notes here. And we just started an Instagram account. I'm still trying to figure out that Instagram stuff, but I have a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old, so I'm sure I'll have it figured out before I go to Los Angeles. Anyways, I'll put all that stuff in our show notes. Make sure you come visit us. It's realestatemoneyandmore.com/episode6. All right, let's talk about the acquisition of Trulia from Zillow. So for many consumers, they understand there's a couple of major players when it comes to aggregation systems. And what I mean by the aggregation system is Zillow, Trulia, and Realtor.com all pull an aggregate mainly from the multiple listing services, and they also pull from public records. So these are aggregates. They just aggregate the data and then they submit it out to the public for the public's use. Now, they all three have some decent websites and they've got some decent traffic. The purchase, obviously, Trulia has somewhat value to Zillow because Zillow just bought them for $3.5 billion. That's billion with a B. Now, let me kind of back up because there's been some jockeying going on in this space online for a while now. Trulia last year, I want to say it's last year, don't quote me on that. It was either last year, I want to say it was in the last 12 months, acquired Market Leader. And via acquiring Market Leader, they acquired a blogging service called ActiveRain. ActiveRain is a pretty decent blogging service that's promoted highly to a lot of real estate agents. It's promoted to real estate agents as a place to blog easily to get your information out there, and you can send your company or your information to your clients. And they aggregate a lot of those blogs. Now, do I suggest doing that? No. If I want to blog, I'm going to blog on my own site. I'm not going to blog on somebody else's site and give them the traffic. And we'll talk about why here in just a minute. But ActiveRain was very, how should we say, Google-friendly. Because it had so much traffic coming to it, because it had so much content with so many keywords, then ActiveRain's blog posts start to come up a lot on your searches when someone's searching for a particular keyword or a particular area. So Trulia saw value in that and paid for it and brought Active Rain and Market Leader under the Trulia umbrella. So under that umbrella, they bought it. Now Zillow turns around and purchases the Trulia umbrella. Now, out of the three aggregate systems, the rankings by most realtors, and I say most, I know as soon as I say most, there's going to be a realtor out there that disagrees with me 100%, and that's okay. I agree with this particular one as it stands right now. One of the better services was Zillow. Number two was Trulia. Number three was Realtor.com. And the National Association of Realtors backs that same data by saying that Zillow has probably double the traffic of Trulia, and Trulia has probably triple to quadruple the traffic of Realtor.com. Now, Realtor.com is owned by the National Association of Realtors and has started to do some marketing. So you're starting to see more and more pickup on Realtor.com. We'll just have to see how that goes. But Zillow basically aggregates all this information and then gives it to the public for free. Now, how do they make their money? Well, they come to people like me and say, do you, you know, we have these buyers and sellers coming to our site looking in your area. Would you like to advertise on our site? You would be specific to this particular zip code, and you would be a specialist in that particular zip code. Trulia does the same thing, so does Realtor.com. One of the problems I see coming is that Zillow bought the second bully in the area, if you will. Check Twitter. There was a whole bunch of combinations between Zillow and Trulia and what type of the new name it was. I think Zilla won out like Godzilla, but rabbit trail, sorry. Zillow was the big bully on campus. Trulia was the next one, and then Realtor.com was the small kid on the playground. Although 10-point-something million views a month is definitely not a small kid. If the biggest buys the second biggest, now they are literally controlling 85% of the marketplace, I think is the statistic that the National Association of Realtors came out with. In this space, they're going to control 85% of the marketplace. The problem I see with that now is twofold. One, inside industry, I think they're going to turn around and raise rates on agents to where they can't even afford it. Now, I've seen people spend tens of thousands of dollars a month with Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, and get not all that good leads. But if you're the only game in town, well, now you can, that's, you just have to do it. So I think that that's going to cause problems internally. I think if they get too sky high, they're going to price themselves out of the market. Now, secondly, is with some of their information. And they're trying to find ways to sell information back to industry users all day long. I got a call the other day from Zillow wanting to know if I wanted to be exclusive in a town, the town that I work in, for leads on properties that were not on the market. I had to pause and went, wait, what? Would you like to be the exclusive to receive buyer leads for properties that are not on the market? Why the heck would I want to do that? But I wanted to listen. My curiosity peaked up because, A, I wanted to find out how much they wanted to charge me for that. And, B, I wanted to find out what in the world were they talking about. Well, this is a problem I see with some of these aggregate systems. And we're going to use my home state of Florida just to prove a point. Let me walk you down a story. In Florida, if someone's 90 days late on their home, the lender can file what's called list pendants. It's basically French for lawsuit pending. List pendants is how the foreclosure process starts. That's just how it starts. But list pendants becomes public record. Zillow pulls that public record and calls that property in the pre-foreclosure category now. So they put it in a pre-foreclosure category. So that pre-foreclosure category is one that can be filtered out when you search Zillow, but does not default as a filter out. So most people go on searching properties. That property now shows up as a possibility. Now it's in a different color, and most people scratch their head and are a little concerned about their, or a little confused about the color scheme. But you can now see that property. Here's the problem. That property is pre-foreclosure. In the state of Florida, it can take anywhere from about 60 days after that list pendants is filed to multiple years. I know people right now that are still living in a property where list pendants was filed in 2008. It is 2014. That's 6 years later. They're still working on the foreclosure. Welcome to the legal services. Welcome to the legal society. So if it's going to take anywhere from 3 months to 6, 7, 8 years, anywhere in that time frame, that property may come on the market. Now, guess what? The person that got the list pendants filed on them very well could catch the loan up or modify the loan, or they might not necessarily get rid of the property. Something might happen. They may sell the loan to, or sell the property to a family member that pays off the loan. There's multiple things that could happen. But Zillow's showing this is the pre-foreclosure. Now, that was the data that the guy was wanting me to use. Now, here was the spiel. Shane, take this data that we're getting, take these leads, and you'll get a lot of them. Now, that kind of clued me in on one thing to begin with. Why am I getting a lot of them, and why is Zillow utilizing this aspect when all they had to do was tell people or default it to where pre-foreclosures were not there? No, instead they want to gather that data. They're an aggregate. So they told me, they said, Shane, use that data, talk to the people, and turn them on to a different house. It's not a bad business plan. Don't get me wrong. But I have found when most people call me off of that, and just in full disclosure, I do spend some money advertising on all three of those aggregate systems. I do spend some money on Zillow. I do spend some money on Trulia, and I do spend some money on Realtor.com. But I spend also money here on my own website, which we'll get to in a minute. So they basically are saying, instead of letting the public know, what I want you to do is I want you to call them. Give them bad news first. Hey, the house you called me on, yeah, it's not available. But are you looking to buy? Is there something else I can help you around the corner that I might be able to help you find? Again, that's not a bad, bad business plan. But then I found out they wanted to charge me somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 a year for that data. Now, this is pre-buying Trulia. I called my contact over at Zillow and found out that the program is actually pretty successful for Zillow, that there's a lot of people out there buying into this, and perhaps it can be successful. There's one good reason I like real estate, and that is because no two deals are the same, and really, we could have eight different paths that lead us all to the same place. So maybe that is for some people. Just in my mind, if I'm looking about a particular house, I'm starting a conversation not so well as, hey, that house isn't available. And the fact that Zillow aggregates that data, separates it, and then sells it as a separate list, okay. This is, again, pre the buyout of Trulia. So that's the back end of that buyout. And it's also affecting your front end some. What we need to talk about, or what I think needs to happen, I think Zillow is going to remain a monster in that arena for the near future. There is some data that can be there. But in today's society and in today's real estate world, consumers are not necessarily looking for more data. It used to be, as realtors, our job was to give the data because we held the keys. We were the keeper of the information. But we left that age a long time ago. Now, I'll be honest, there's times I walk into properties with buyers, they know more about the house than I do, or they think they do, and they show me where they got the data. What people are really looking for now is not more data. What they're looking for is someone to help interpret the data. So the two sides of the coins that I want to take away from this week's episode is, if you're in real estate, if you're a realtor listening to this show, understand Zillow's going to be here, and it's going to be here a while. Make sure that you're ready to interpret the data, and also grow your presence outside of Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, because they're going to continue to raise the prices on you, and they may raise you out of the marketplace. But be prepared to contend with them for quite a while. Secondly, if you're a consumer in the business, you're looking at information on some of these aggregate sites, understand that not all the data is current, and that you may want to talk with someone who is a local presence and do your homework. You've got the people on the side of the listings that you can contact. Look at their reviews. I would even try and go off of Zillow. See if you can find them outside of Zillow. Make sure they're not just paying for Zillow ads to be there as their only business plan. They may still be a good realtor, but I would always suggest getting somebody outside of it. And if you're a seller, you definitely want somebody inside and outside of your Zillow's, your Trulia's, your Realtor.com's. So that's going to bring us to the end of this show. Just wanted to make sure I did this special episode, as this is a big play in the real estate online searching arena, which, according to the National Association of Realtors, 96.4% of buyers start their real estate search online. So an acquisition of well over $3 billion in the online real estate search space was definitely newsworthy, and I thought it would just needed to be on this particular episode since it is very relevant right now. I hope you learned something. I hope you're subscribing and getting these weekly. Make sure you visit the website, realestatemoneyandmore.com, and sign up to get these episodes a few days in advance. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.